Chapter 8. A few hours later, the lunch rush was over and Lexi was helping Cassie clean up the tables outside when Myra's silver station wagon pulled up at the curb. The ladies climbed out, chattering like hens as they passed Lexi on their way inside to buy their daily treats. The wind was picking up slightly, so Lexi quickly finished collecting the trash, then headed inside to put the bag of refuse with the rest in the back dumpster. She joined the ladies at their table near the window after washing her hands. "Oh, these brownies are truly divine, dear," Nan said, patting the empty seat beside her. "Sit, sit, and let us tell you what we found at Stan's." "Personally, I prefer the pistachio biscotti," Helen said, flicking her napkin out, then laying it across her lap. "Quite tasty."
"Don't forget about these confetti cupcakes." Ida wiped a glob of vanilla frosting off her cheek. "So good."
"And what do you have, Ruth?" Lexi asked, peering across the round table at the other woman's plate.
"Today, I'm trying one of those cute little peach tartlets."
"Wonderful." Lexi sipped her bottled water, then rested her chin in her hand. "So, were you able to get a good look at the car?"
"No," Nan said. "The police wouldn't let us through the tape. But we did get to talk with Stan again."
"Yes." Ruth swallowed a bite of her tart, then shuddered. "I do wish that man would wear something over those tank tops of his. All that body hair."
Lexi chuckled. "What did he have to say?"
"Lots. He's been paying attention whenever the cops are around investigating."
Ida devoured the last bite of her first cupcake before continuing.
"According to what he's heard, the victim, Sherman Wilson, had been killed at least a few hours prior to the time we arrived. Around midnight, maybe 1 a.m., per what the M.E. said, Stan was very forthcoming with the information."
"Of course, that was before he turned all hostile with us, after Ruth tried to get him to sneak us in after hours to look in her car."
Helen took a dainty bite of biscotti, then laid it back on her plate. With her crisp, stylish clothes and perfect silver hair, she always looked as if she was ready for the country club. No wonder the ladies' auxiliary had practically fallen all over themselves to get Helen as a member. What with her prestigious family name around town and the old money she'd inherited from her late husband.
"I've no idea what made him react so badly all of a sudden. Ruth pays a hefty price to store her car there during the winters. I don't think asking for a bit of a favor is out of the question, especially under these circumstances."
"Well, my intuition still tells me he's hiding something," Nan said around a bite of brownie. "Didn't you hear him backtracking after we asked him about sneaking us in to see the car later tonight? He kept muttering about entrapment and telling the cops he hadn't been anywhere near that storage unit when the murder occurred and how he thought they were trying to pull something on him. Then he went off on a tangent about people wanting money from him. It was all very confusing and suspicious."
"I can tell you Stan's never been what I would call a nice man," Ruth added after finishing the last bite of her tartlet. "I've seen some pretty shady characters hanging out in the back of his office over the years. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he's doing something illegal at that storage place."
"Huh. Well, at least we managed to find out he hasn't seen any cars around that area aside from the ones we already know about."
Ida popped the last of her second cupcake into her mouth, then wiped her hands.
"The rusted old orange Jeep, Myra's silver station wagon, and the police cars."
"Unless the person who killed Sherman Wilson didn't arrive at the storage lot by car," Lexi said before she could stop herself. "Darn it." She'd vowed not to get involved. Too late now, though, considering the inquiring looks the other ladies were giving her. She shrugged and fiddled with her water bottle on the table. "I'm just saying that maybe the killer parked elsewhere and climbed the fence to get in. The killer's arrival could have all been a coincidence, and once they got there and spotted Wilson already inside, a fight ensued."
Good point, dear. Nan smiled. Truth is, we really just don't have enough to go on yet. Like Helen said, what we really need to find is that list. And to do that, we need a way to get into Ruth's car and search inside. Once more, the ladies turned to Lexi. She sat back and held up her hands. Nope, don't look at me. I'm already in enough trouble for interfering in the case as much as I have. Besides, I promised Jack I wouldn't get involved, and I intend to keep my word. He's my husband, and we're a team, too, and I need to honor that. How would it look to him if I went behind his back to sneak into a crime scene? If you won't help us, Ida glanced over at Cassie behind the counter. Then how about her? Cassie? I don't know. Lexi frowned. The odd conversation they'd had about John coming home late when Jack had been relatively on time made her wary. If Cassie and John were having marital problems, the last thing Lexi wanted to do was make things worse. And John was Jack's partner on the force. What if John said something to Jack about the lady snooping again? Well, this sounded like a bad idea all around. I think maybe we should... Well, if you won't ask her, I will, Nan said, getting up. Lexi, asking her best friend to get her husband to let them into a restricted crime scene was bad enough. She couldn't imagine how one of the other ladies wouldn't make it worse. No, Lexi pushed to her feet and hurried toward the counter. I'll do it. Hey, Cass, I hate to do this, but could you maybe ask John if he'd get us in to see Ruth's car later? I know it's still impounded, but Ruth's got a couple of things she needs to get from the vehicle, and Jack said they were done dusting for prints and swabbing for DNA. Oh, yeah, sure, I guess. Cassie shrugged, then gave Lexi a knowing look. What's the matter? Jack tired of you playing detective?
Yes.
Sort of.
Right.
Cassie pulled out her cell phone and hit a speed dial button. Seconds later, she smiled. Hey, John, it's me. Listen, Lexi and the ladies would like to get in to see Ruth's car later. Can you arrange that? She grinned at Lexi, one brow raised. Great. Yep, 1 hour. I'll tell her. Thanks. Oh, and if you could maybe keep this between us and not tell Jack, that'd be awesome. Her smile faltered, and she frowned down at her toes, her voice growing quieter. No, of course I didn't say anything. Yes, I'll let her know that, though. Lexi's pulse stumbled. What was that about? Were Cassie and John keeping some kind of secret, or was it just her imagination? Her chest squeezed with guilt. There wasn't really much she could say about it, considering the phone call her best friend was making on her behalf, but still. The strange vibe she'd gotten from him that night with the wine and roses now took on a much more ominous tone. She waited until Cassie had ended the call, then asked, "Tell me what?" "Oh, nothing. That part wasn't about you." Cassie slid her phone back into the pocket of her apron and avoided Lexi's gaze. "John said they're wrapping up their investigation at the scene now, and they will release the vehicle in an hour." The bells above the door jangled, and Herman Conti rushed in, making a beeline for Ruth.
"Are you okay, my darling?"
Ruth harrumphed and pulled away when he tried to take her hand. "Yes, I'm fine, thank you, and I'm not your darling."
"So very glad to hear that. I've been searching you out for days,"
Herman continued, as if Ruth weren't scowling up at him with disdain.
"And what about that fine piece of automotive machinery of yours?"
"The olds? Fine." Ruth gave him an annoyed glare. "They're releasing it from custody today."
"Ah, I see. In that case, please allow me to give you a ride, my darling."
Herman made an elaborate bow, and Lexi stifled a giggle. Seemed the man was well and truly smitten with Ruth. "It's not just me who has places to go, Herman Conti," Ruth said. "My friends and I require a ride back to my storage unit at Stan's place. Maybe you wouldn't mind driving us all?" Ruth's tone turned sweet at that last part, and she looked up at him coquettishly through her lashes.
"It would be my honor to escort you ladies anywhere you need to go," he said, gesturing to the door. "My carriage awaits at the curb, my queens."
Lexi did laugh then, not missing the eye rolls from Nance and Ida as the women stood and walked out of the bakery. A part of her couldn't help feeling a little envious, though, at all the attention Herman lavished on Ruth. There'd been a time when she and Jack had first started dating that Jack had treated Lexi that way, too. But time and familiarity had lessened their attentiveness. At least it seemed that way sometimes. Now, with overhearing Cassie's words to John, she felt even more compelled to find out what was going on with her husband. Was he bored with their life together? Was he unhappy? "Hey, you ready to go?" Cassie asked, walking up beside Lexi. "Huh?" Lexi gave her a confused look. "Where are we going?" "Didn't Jack message you?" "No." Miscommunication seemed to be the word of the day where she and her husband were concerned. "Why?" "John said your car's done at the shop. Jack asked if I could take you over to pick it up." "Oh." Lexi pulled out her phone to double-check, but there were no texts or missed calls. She sighed and shoved the device back into her pocket before removing her apron and grabbing her purse. Seemed she was so unimportant to Jack these days, he couldn't even bother to call her himself to tell her that her car was ready. And he sent her messages via John. Not good. Not good at all.